Lesson number 7, Christ or Babylon. The message of the second angel. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. The two falls of Babylon, one of the great controversy, took place at the rejection of the first and the third angel's message. Babylon rejected the message that the hour of God's judgment had come in 1844 or so, and fell. The third angel's message is a message to keep the Sabbath. And when Babylon rejects that message, it has its second fall. Modern Babylon, coming from the ancient Tower of Babel, represents false churches who base their doctrine on the Bible, supposedly, and then give those doctrines whatever spin they want to give. Part number 1, Ancient Babylon. In Genesis, after the flood, the Spirit describes a group of people who got together and decided to unite. Nimrod was the ringleader of this group, and they had special agenda. They were afraid that God would bring another flood upon the world, and they were going to ensure against it by building a huge tower in which were all kinds of apartments in which they would live that would be so high that the population could climb to the top and defy anything that God might do. As they were building, the Lord decided to investigate. Every judgment of God is an investigative judgment. He came down, not because he needed information, and saw what they were doing, and then did something to their ability to speak, and so confused the languages. And this confusion made it impossible for these Babel builders to build the tower. There's nothing left of that tower today, although archaeologists think they have found its foundations. Herodotus and an ancient cuneiform tablet describe this tower that had a square base and went up in stages that grew smaller and smaller, so it was a kind of a stepped tower. The tower was repaired from time to time, the last time by Nebuchadnezzar, but since then it has totally disappeared. The people, in their confusion — the word Baal means confusion — started the name of this tower. It's called the Tower of Babel or Babel. The meaning of the two is exactly the same. It was a babble of voices, totally confused, that interrupted the building of this tower. Part number 2. What is antitypical Babylon? Everything that went around the ancient tower of confusion, in which speech was muddled up, that was a counterfeit method of meeting the crisis with disregard for God's word that he would never destroy the world by a flood, starting up traditional concepts, connecting it with worship. The last one in Nebuchadnezzar's time was the god Marduk. All these ideas extend to the end time Babylon. Babylon in the last days, as described in Revelation, refers to a city and a woman, and a church, and an organization that has many expressions for its belief. It talks with many tongues, totally confused. The expression in one group contradicting the expressions in another group, all describing how one has got to get out of this world alive and reach up to heaven. That's exactly what happened in the Tower of Babel. The builders asked for some material. When it got to another story up above, they had given another spin to what they had heard, and so they sent down confused or sent up confused recommendations that totally disorganized what they were trying to do. And so modern Babylon consists of a group of people who believe that there is a crisis coming upon the world, have all kinds of ideas, and when they convey those ideas, create confusion through which no one can see. Now, Ellen White defines Babylon as the fallen denominational churches, all claiming to base their beliefs on the Bible, but contradicting each other and going in every direction. In his writings, Peter declared that he was living in Babylon. This has generally been understood to apply cryptically to Rome, of which they were afraid to speak too publicly, and so disguised what they were saying. And so Peter's Babylon is a veiled reference to Rome. Daniel talks a great deal about the little horn, that's the medieval Christian church that grew out in the 6th, 7th, and 8th century, that destroyed the Arian rivals, the three horns that stood up against it and formed a church that claimed to be universal by trying to unite all the other Christian groups that existed at that time. This Babylon, this concept of Babylon, is also called a woman. In Scripture, a woman, used apocalyptically, carries religious overtones. Israel was likened to a woman, Ezekiel 16, many other places. The spouse of Christ. He is the bridegroom. His people constitute the bride. So, antitypical Babylon takes up those old ideas and formulates them into a system that we will see today. The book of Revelation talks about a dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, that had seven heads, which were his manifestations through the millennia, starting from Egypt, winding up with the papacy. These seven heads are now crowned. That is, we are in the days of the ten horns or the ten toes and have ten crowned horns. So we live in a part long after the fall of Rome to the time of the end. And the dragon gives his seat and his power and his authority to Babylon, fallen denominational churches. Part number three, how to identify modern Babylon. The clues are given in the books of Daniel and Revelation. Revelation tells us she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Jesus uses wine to represent his covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. And the covenant is the imposed agreement of all that the church must believe. Babylon has a covenant with her wine her imposed agreement that everyone else must believe. So we look at what the Bible teaches about beliefs, and we look at what tradition and modern Babylon talks about belief. And when you line these clues up, then you get a picture of what modern Babylon believes. The Revelation adds an idea to this concept that this woman is a mother that has daughters that have her same genes. They believe the same way. They have taken many things from Mother Babylon and have incorporated them into her daughter's beliefs. They have the same concepts and the teachings that old Babylon of the medieval church has. Now, what are these clues that we think about? Part number 4. These unbiblical doctrines that form the wine of Babylon. They claim that Babylon was founded on Peter. That those who commit sins must confess to a priest and get forgiveness from him. They decide that it's not necessary to keep the whole law. They have taken the second commandment right out. They totally ignore the third commandment that says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." And you will find that Babylonians use the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, and God in every fifth word. They don't keep the fourth commandment. They observe Sunday. They don't believe that the dead are dead. They think that they are either in heaven or in purgatory or in limbo and in hell. So by comparing the teachings of Scripture with the teachings of Babylon, you get clues by which you can identify this religious group, mother and daughters, spread around the world that have these non-biblical doctrines totally based on tradition. And the more you look around and get these clues that are non-biblical, the more certain you can be that they are not the true church that constitute either Babylon or her daughters. Another clue that has come quite recently within the last century is the idea that there will be righteous saints who will be raptured. A totally non-biblical teaching based on a spin-off of Christ's statement that one shall be taken and the other left, ignoring the doctrine, the comparison with Noah. They forget that the ones that were taken in death, that the ones that were left were Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. Then Jesus Christ says, remember Lot. The only ones that were left when the fires had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the other cities, were Lot and his two daughters. And so those that were left remained. And Paul talks about we which are alive and remain. And in Luke, the disciples said, "Lord, where will they be taken?" And Jesus says, "Where the bodies are, there will the buzzards be gathered together." They will be taken in death. And the ones that remain form the remnant that will live and reign with Christ. The Bible declares that before the coming of Christ, Satan will work with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So we may expect in these last days, as part number 5 emphasizes, that there will be counterfeits of all kinds. There will be counterfeits of healings, of speakings, miracles that have no basis in Scripture, but have an emotional overtone that impress those who do not make the Bible their rule of conduct. Part number 6. It is one of Satan's devices to combine with falsehood just enough truth to give it plausibility. Let's never forget that. You hear somebody speaking, recommending Sunday observance, then you say, what a wonderful person he is. How loving, how kind, how gracious he seems to be. Can he be all that bad? That question is irrelevant. Is he speaking the truth? Satan was the most good-looking, the most pleasing, the most charismatic leader after the Trinity in heaven. He was the greatest seducer, the greatest producer of error that the universe has ever seen. And so as we look to Babylon, try to understand it, try to discover the various doctrines that go to make the cocktail, the wine of her evil, her departure from God, her apostasy from her bridegroom, her fornication. Let's make sure that everything is backed by a thus saith the Lord.